I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello, can you hear me?
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Can you hear me?
This is take two. We started a podcast, and if you're watching live
Did
on
we?
The YouTube, you would have been able to see us break the stream and do a bit of messing around, try and get the stream back. So if you are watching live now, do let us know if this is working or not. You should be able to hear all of us, which would be good. Anyway, you will note if you are a audio listener, thanks for joining us as well,
well done.
Our live YouTube guys.
I prefer the audio.
I like an audio podcast. I was listening to the Wampler podcast today, and they were talking about the difference between audio and video podcast, and audio rocks. Audio's the best.
Yeah, audio's good. I don't have to wear any makeup when we do the audio one.
Well, you don't wear any now. I mean, surely not.
Look at that face.
Anyway, if you are joining us, if you're a regular listener, you'll note that we're all here, we're all back, which is something that is rare these days. Matt Knight, you've been away for 2 weeks on a long holiday. Where have you been?
I went to Thailand and I went to Vietnam.
Nice.
It was amazing. It was very hot. It was over 30 degrees pretty much every day. Humid. Really
did you
hot,
do any
really
solid
sweaty.
Guitar stuff over there?
I did absolutely none.
Oh, I thought that's what you were going to say.
I didn't even see any. Well, actually, we came to the tail end of it, but in Thailand about 6 weeks ago, the king of Thailand died.
Yeah,
and he's a really important figure in Thailand, and they actually banned any live music for a month or any live performances or anything like that because they actually take a year of mourning. But the first month there was no live music, all the events were cancelled, and I did see one guy on the last night from Ireland in a British pub do open mic sort of singy songwriter stuff, and it was rubbish.
I thought you were going to say you got up, like joined in, had a little jam.
No,
had
it was
a real
just
good time.
He was doing loads of boring songs, and so that was literally the I don't even know if there was a guitar shop anywhere that I went in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
I don't even know if whether it's really even a traditional instrument. I did see quite a few people walking around with guitars.
Okay.
I say quite a few, I think like three, but it's probably because I noticed them because of my heightened sense of
your
guitar spotting.
Your predilection for guitar looking at.
But,
words failed me.
But I had 2 weeks off from playing guitar, and I came back yesterday and plugged my guitar in, and it sounded amazing. And then I programmed a sound on the ES8 and the Timeline that Jay Cross would love.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I used the Space Echo on the Timeline, but the ES8 has got an inbuilt waveform, so you can effectively turn a pot up and down, for example, without actually touching it. So I did it to turn the repeats up and down on like a sine wave, so as you're playing the repeats build up loads, but then they also fade away, so it's like you're constantly turning the repeats up to max
and then turning them down again,
and then just turning them down with a little bit of the delay moving at the same time.
So it sounds like How do you do? Is that done all through MIDI, or do you tap?
It's
in
all
and out?
Done through MIDI.
So, are you able to tap? Are you able to like preset the rise time and the full time and stuff?
Yep. Well, yeah, you
that's
can.
That's part of the.
You can,
yeah. Is that done through the ESA or through the?
It's done inside the ESA. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You were, so it was quite funky. So I was feeling very inspired yesterday, and then
you also came home to something rather special.
I did. I don't know if anyone. Well, people who've seen it on the stream now, I got this funky guy.
So that to me looks very much like a Pelator, the Pelican Noiseworks double fuzz type thing. I guess it's two.
Yeah, or it looks like a clone, but it's actually two fuzzes in one.
But what's so special about the one you've got there?
It's in Pelican pink.
Nice.
Limited edition.
So what's the deal with that? Limited edition?
Limited edition, 1 of 12. It came in a funky wooden box with a little note with my name on it as well. But yeah, just limited edition colour.
What, just a note that said Matt on it?
Just a ransom note.
It was the manual, and it said, to Matt Knight on it.
Oh.
It was in a little wooden box in a little carry case. But ever since we did the demo on it, I was like, oh, I really want to buy one of these because it sounded ace when we did the demo.
When that came up on Facebook and I was like, oh, these are limited. They're definitely going to go. Matt's on holiday. Did you manage to get access to PayPal or whatever?
Leon, who is part of the actual Guitar Nerds Facebook group, I just sent him a message and said, oh, I really want one. How many have you got? And he said, I've sold all but two. And I said, oh, can you hold one for me until I've got better reception? And he did.
Nice.
And he sent me an invoice, and it was on my desk this morning. What was weird is it was like, you have a customs charge to pay. We can't deliver it until there's a customs charge paid, and it was still on my desk. So,
oh wow.
Don't know what happened there.
All right. Well, you know,
been charged to the company by the sounds of things, mate.
Yeah, it sounds like someone there's done you a solid.
Yeah. So so I can't wait till I was going to try and plug that in, but I didn't get time this evening.
No, you were too busy live streaming about it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to eat dinner. And I didn't have any keys to get into my house.
Always a problem. Bit of a problem. Jay Cross, it's worth mentioning that, I mean, if people are watching the stream, they'll be able to see, but you look like you're about to keel over.
Yeah, I don't feel very well today.
But you always say on the podcast how you never get ill.
I know, so I don't really understand what this is. I think maybe someone's slipped me something.
Yeah, it was me at work. Like, I will prove that he can get ill. And will put...
So some
germs in his drink.
Yes, I feel really under the weather, and I don't really know why. Because I, oh my word, my headphones. I had a really chill weekend, like really, really chilled out weekend, and slept loads. And I feel utterly dreadful today.
You look bad.
Utterly dreadful. So I'm just drinking this very nice, warm, 100% non-alcoholic. Beverage.
Okay.
And I think I'll be alright.
Sort of got a bit of a Hans Moleman vibe going on. Your eyes have gone really small. So I think, yeah, tonight, like, feel free to chip in, but
I'll chip in where I can, I'm not 100% today, friends.
Yeah, if you if there's stuff going on the YouTube channel, you're in there with, you can type without having a cold, right? I mean, you'll still have the cold, but
yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Let's just put a little sniff at the end of each line that you put in. Little sniff at the end of the line.
So, done it.
Talking about sniffs at the end of the line, Joe Branton, you've been on tour.
I got back. I'm back, though.
You got a bit red.
No, it was a straight edge.
How is
tour.
Your straight edge band? So, good. You've been away on tour, which is why you've not been here for the last, what? Oh, no, you were here last podcast.
I haven't missed any.
Oh, that's a shame,
no, it was
isn't it?
Just, No, I worked this tour around the podcast.
Yeah, of course. So where have you been?
No, we were just doing a couple of weekends. So we did a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I got back on Monday, this morning.
Okay.
After our show in Northampton.
What time did your show finish last night?
I don't know, sort of half... 12, like 1, something like that.
Okay.
And then
Northampton's not that far, is it?
It was three hours from here.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. And then after we'd loaded in, when we got back, put the stuff back in our lockup and everything, I got back just in time to
leave to go to work.
Nice.
No, I did actually get my head down for a bit, but yeah, it was good.
I've done that. We played in Blackpool and drove back, and I got in at 7 o'clock and I left the house at 7:30 to go to work.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that was good.
I've always been much better at planning tours. I've never had to do that.
All right.
Sometimes you just run out of holiday and you can't turn it down.
I'm just really good at booking tours.
Mm.
Clearly.
Indeed. Well, I'm glad it was good. Did you play with anyone good?
Well, we did. There were quite a few good shows, but yeah, one of the really great show we had was in Bristol. There are two really cool venues in Bristol run by the same fella who's in kind of a math sort of band himself. So. He puts them on in the Mother's Ruin and the Stag and Hounds. Unfortunately, this week the Mother's Ruin got some noise complaints and they've had to hopefully only temporarily stop its music license.
Classic tale of someone moving in next door.
Classic. No, which is really, really devastating for their business because they have shows every night and it's a really popular sort of place to go. But anyway, regardless, so there was a night going on in Stag and Hounds and a night supposed to be in Mother's Ruin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were touring with another band, a Scottish band called Vassa, and we were jumping on a 5-band bill in Stag and Hound to make it a 7-band bill.
Right.
But then because the night got cancelled at Mother's Ruin, they lumped all the bands on one, so it was an 11-band bill.
Oh, cool.
So we counted...
How long was your set? Did you even manage to get like half a song done?
They don't have any like closing time. Right, so, yeah, okay. So we played for whatever, like... 45 minutes, something like that. But we headlined it. But they did, 11 bands. Well, pretty much all of us were mates anyway, which was really nice. But we counted 50 band members.
Wow.
In the
how many pedals?
In the venue. Well, that's it. Like
how many audience members? All bands.
Yeah, just
band. No, that's no. It was
a good
payer
than that one.
Yeah. Doubled the size of the audience.
Splitting the money 11 ways. Quality.
Yeah, we actually did really well for money. I thought they'd be able to. They paid us more because we were taking a cut at the door as well, and the door did really well as well, which was kind of nice. But yeah, there were so many pedal boards. I saw some incredible stuff. Like.
What was the weirdest pedal that you saw?
I'm not really sure. It was more interesting combinations than weird pedals. A lot of ES8s actually. Okay. They seem to be spreading like wildfire.
Yeah.
Oh, a couple of the new Joyo pedal switches.
Okay.
As well. But yeah, there was one band doing some really interesting stuff with an Electro Harmonix Freeze, and a Digitech Jam and Stereo, using them together. So playing a little bit, freezing that note, letting that ring over the top, and then sampling up another couple of notes on the on the loop. So he was kind of building tracks to play over, but by using the freeze pedal to set the key, and then other stuff on the Jam and Stereo, which was kind of cool. But there was some very interesting stuff. Pedals that I saw across a lot of boards, the Exotic Effects SP compressor. Yep. That seems to have turned up everywhere, like on a number of boards.
They were one of those brands, I think, that you couldn't get for a long time in the UK. Is that right, Matt? That you couldn't get exotic stuff?
I think you could, but for a long time they had things like the BB preamp and the RC booster, which were always like popular with like studio or like session guys, but they weren't really like mainstream. And then they kind of went, oh, here's this micro pedal. And they had the EP booster, which everyone bought. And then they kind of had the SL drive and then the compressor. I mean, I had one for a while, because the thing with that is you can't... it's like volume... It's volume and then just three compression amounts, or like blend and like three compression amounts.
Yeah, it's just blend.
And yeah, so it was really, really good for the size. It's an awesome little pedal.
Yeah, that was great. But I saw there were three of those, and there were two other pedals that were unusual, I thought, that I saw on, you know, surprisingly on more than one board. One was the Hotone Expression pedal.
Yes.
The mini Expression pedal that can also be a wah or a volume.
Soul Press?
Pedal. Yeah, that's right, the Soul Press. So. Yeah. Saw that two people.
It's not the one that folds out, is it?
No.
Okay,
because
that's super cool.
It's the red one, but which is just a mini expression or volume or wah. But people using it in conjunction with the ES8 because it's such a convenient size, and using it as the expression pedal for some of their effects on that. So I saw two people with that, and then I saw it probably four Moore Tender Octaves.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What, do you remember
can
those?
You still get those?
No, because they were discontinued because something dodgy happened with the copyright of something to do with the circuit.
I think
they are micropods.
They also did the Moo organ or the Morgan.
The Morgan.
And they got shut down by. I think they got shut down by Electro-Harmonics.
Yeah, well, Electro-Harmonics basically did them on this because it was a micropog, the tender octave.
Wow.
And I was, it's the first time I've ever, despite us like the shop I work for always doing the range, I'd never heard of the tender octave because I think it only came out for a very brief time.
Before someone's legal department zapped them out of the
exactly,
sky.
Exactly. Now, a couple of the these pedals were being used with switches because, to be honest, the Moore size is a little bit inconvenient when you have a serious pedal board just because it's difficult to actually fit it anywhere.
Yeah,
they
don't really fit on any of the rungs properly, do they?
No, exactly. But in conjunction with an ES8 where you can just, it was sort of, you know, jammed in the under tier of one of the boards.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
saw. But what a great idea because it sounded just like a microbog. It was £50. If you can get one second hand, it's probably
30 quid or something.
Exactly. Yeah, and it sounded great actually hearing it, you know, alongside a lot of micropogs. Micropogs are other than the Behringer Ultra Shifter is probably the most common pedal to see on a math rock pedal board.
It's all about the micropog.
Yeah, exactly. And this sounded just like it, which is great. So it was cool to see some different things, some things that I didn't expect to see on boards.
Cool.
Yeah,
nice to go out and see something that we don't often see. Like, I follow so many of the pedalboard groups and stuff on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that, and a lot of the time it is just the same stuff. So yeah, to see like a few rare Moore pedal, that's awesome.
And I saw there was one band
that are going to reach like silly money at some point.
Probably. I saw another band called Different Gig, but 72% Morrissey. They were called.
Okay. Covers band, were they?
It's so far from it. So the guitarist played a bass six,
right?
And pretty much always had, and I couldn't see. I wasn't sure what it was, but it was. It was an octave up fuzz, but just with like the octave up pushed. But the tracking was terrible.
So it's just glitching out everywhere.
Yeah.
Hang on.
It was great.
A bass six.
Yeah.
Played through an octave up.
Yeah. Genius. It sounded great.
So it was a guitar.
But it sounded constantly like
an octave
Kanye
fuzz,
West
though.
Singing.
Like, you know, the
greatest rock star of all time.
You know, like the Hendrix Octavio, where like glitches out and stuff. And you can do it to an extent with the.
So it was doing that, but a standard pitch.
Yeah, which was great because it sounded it sounded like a guitar, which is what he wanted, but it sounded
warbly.
Yeah, really warbly everywhere. It was a great idea for a really interesting, weird tone.
Cool. That sounds really good.
That was cool.
Nice. Before we move on, a couple of things. I've got an unbelievable urge to buy a Line 6 DL4.
I saw speaking about this.
So I was listening to the 60 Cycle Hum podcast today, and they were talking about the fact that the DL4 is nearly 20 years old.
That's mad.
And it just got me thinking, like, that is a great pedal. And I think, from what the guys on that podcast were saying, like, Line 6 keep talking about it, like, okay, this might be the end of the run for the DL4. So,
no.
So,
unless, I mean, the only thing is, unless they are going to do what, like, Boss have done and let the technology sort of trickle down, so get something that's going to replace the DL4 from the Helix, using the Helix technology.
I think it could be something like that.
I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those ones they just won't ever discontinue because the sales are probably always strong.
Well, if they're sensible, they'll never discontinue.
On a similar note, like we were having a discussion today about how many pedals or what pedals out there have lasted more than 10 or 15 years in their same format. Because we worked out today that the NS2 is 36 years old.
Oh, really?
It's never
changed. 1981. Yeah.
It's never changed.
But
then Boss have foolishly updated things that people haven't latched onto as well. Like
the RV4 to RV5.
RV3 to
RV5.
RV3 to RV5. PS2.
Yeah.
Was easily the best one out of all the pitch shifts. And they're on PS6 yeah, now. I still haven't got it right again.
It depends, really, because they haven't really upgraded any... Because I've got a feeling that the Helix probably isn't any better in terms of sounds than the DL4, but what it is the processing power, so the amount that it can actually process. It's the same as the Variax. I mean, I'm assuming that's the sort of thing, because they probably would have...
It's to do with processing depth, isn't it? So... effectively, like, you're shooting for the same tone, but one will just do it more realistically than another one. Yeah. When it comes to modelling,
the DL4, as I said to someone on the Facebook group when he posted it, I was like, the DL4 has a certain sound about it that nothing else does really replicate.
Yeah,
I think personally,
I really want a DL4.
The looper on it was definitely. I remember when I had one. I mean, I've probably had like three, I think, because I always buy them and then like have them for a bit and then kind of sell them and buy something else. But the looper for me is still the best one. I think if someone could do the same thing in like a looper that was kind of laid out in the same format, I suppose the TC Ditto X4 is kind of the same format for that.
Yeah. Although I don't think it's as good. I don't think it sounds as good.
No, there's something about the DL4 because the DL4's also got the delay on it, and you can do some really funky stuff with. Like, you can actually get like the delay to oscillate, and you can actually record that in, and then you can put that down half speed, so you can then kind of get some cool pad sounds with it.
Yeah, the Flashback X4, I just didn't really like it. I just didn't really get on with it. It didn't do what I wanted it to do.
I think I'm going to buy a DL4. Yeah,
well, that's the thing. DL4s actually oscillate, where the Flashback doesn't oscillate.
No,
same as the DD3 doesn't oscillate either. Like,
why
that's
doesn't
what
someone
you get
just
some really weird
it?
Glitchy sounds out of it.
Well, I was going to say that. What are my other options? So, if I wanted to look at something like the DL4, a lot of people have pointed to the Source Audio, which is supposed to be very, very good. But Matt, what are your kind of thoughts? Could I just get away with an M5?
You could do. I mean, I had an M5, but then. The thing I like about the DL4 is having the three different presets and the expression pedal, which I thought, well, you might not use the expression pedal, but I like having the three different presets and the tap tempo.
Yeah.
But yes, in theory, you could get away with just having an M5, but then the ultimate problem is you'll find other sounds that you like on the M5, and then it's never as easy to scroll up and down through
the
sounds.
Well, what about the M9 then?
It's not really
chunky, and it's expensive.
Yeah, but it's good.
I mean,
yeah, but they're not.
DL4, you can pick a DL4 up for 100 to 120 quid second hand on eBay, and that's such a good delay pedal for 100 quid.
Yeah. What's an M9? 300 quid?
No, they're more than
M9.
Now.
Sorry, yeah.
I think they're like 400.
No, they're not. They're not 400 quid. They must be 320.
Oh, no, they've come down. They were really expensive. They're 340 quid.
Yeah, like, but that's a lot of money. You could buy four DL4s for that.
Yeah, but it's all you ever need. It's got everything on it.
Five M9s.
But it really high quality.
So you're not going to want more than five sounds, though, are you?
Yeah, you've got an option of six sounds. You can only use three at once, but you can have six preset sounds plus the looper on top of that, plus a tuner built in. And they're all really high quality.
I didn't realise it was that. That sounds like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's really good. But, like, it's like industry-leadingly
really
good.
I think I just want a DL4. I like everything about them. I like the form factor. I like those dials on there. I like the buttons. I like everything about a DL4.
What do you mean you like the buttons? Have you ever seen anyone trying to use one live with any form
of,
like...
I'm not going to try and use it live, am I? It's for home.
Well, they break all the time. They're really bad.
Their chassis are absolute rubbish. The buttons do break a lot.
Yeah.
But you can get some cool
mods. You can mod
them.
You have to. I think if you want to use one seriously, you have to mod it.
No.
What do you do to
it? I'm not going to get into that.
What do you mean mod it?
You can get better buttons.
Yeah.
The buttons that don't click, the ones that are just
put soft switches in.
You can get you can also mod them for double presets as well.
Really?
I've seen that as well. They look really weird because someone just sticks like another button somewhere on the another switch somewhere on the unit. And yeah, basically means you can switch between like two different banks.
Right.
It's funny you mentioned the DL4 because I bought the FM4 rack, and then about just before I went on holiday, the delay one came up on eBay, and I was like, oh, maybe I should buy that because it'd be cool for looping, but it went for kind of a bit too much money.
How much did they go for? Because I know that was the sought after one.
It went for like nearly 300 quid.
Yeah.
And I was like, but that is definitely the most sought after one.
Yeah.
The FM4, the filter model is the hardest one to find.
Also the most
pointless. It's definitely the rarest, but the delay one's the most sought after. They come up more often, but they're
I'm going to buy DL4. I'm going to buy DL4.
How much are they new?
I sent you a link. £203.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, come on. If that's £203 new, then an M9 is actually
I'll just get a second-hand one. I'll get a second-hand one. It'll be fine. Anyway, in the new year, I think, for that. Okay. But one thing that is happening before the new year is Guitar Nerd's Gear of the Year.
Gear of the Year.
No, that's brand of the week.
Yeah, what do I want to do for Gear of the Year?
I don't know. We'll have to think of that before...
Gear of the Year.
No, that's horrendous.
No, that's bad.
And
I
if,
like that one.
If you,
Gear
if you
of
are,
the... Yeah.
If you are watching this live on YouTube, there is still time to vote in the
Gear of the Year.
That's horrible. The Gear of the Year listener's choice. There's five or six options for you all on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. If you just have a look at the pinned post on there, you can contribute to Gear of the Year.
Tell us what to do. Is good.
The top two. The top two go through to the final, don't
Why
they?
Why the top two at the moment? It is
the
Infinity Strat.
Reverend Billy Corgan Strat. Not Stratocaster. Reverend Billy Corgan model and a Squire Affinity Sparkle Strat.
So the people on Facebook have managed to pick two things that we have.
Yes. Well, yeah, yeah. That, I mean,
but it's a fix, right?
Be, yeah, but it's a fix. Clearly, we're fixed. Yeah. obviously, dodgy. But yeah. I mean, so I was looking at the list.
One of those things we bought.
And so. the top four things are all the things that we get accused of fixing stuff with.
Well, no one's accused us of fixing it for the pink Strat.
No,
I mean,
that's true.
Paid for that with my own money, out of my own pocket. anyway, so if you're watching live on YouTube now. It's definitely still open now. I may even leave it open till Wednesday. We'll see. But I think probably between now and when the podcast comes out.
I don't like any of the things that people have selected. I'm going to veto them.
No, they have to.
There's
the
no
top
vetoes,
two,
mate.
Yeah, the top two go through to the final of Gear of the Year.
No one gets a veto. We've never done a veto.
I do actually like the Reverend. I think that's pretty good.
It's a good bit of kit. Whether you like the styling or not, it's very well made.
I don't care about the Affinity Strat.
All right, well, that's
save this until Gear of the Year.
Okay.
Listen, we'll get rolled up later, mate.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be so good. I'm going to pick something like annoyingly obscure again and really like...
And then, you do that and then the three of us will just say no.
No, well, that's not what happens. I've won every single year.
Absolutely not. Anyway, is this like how you've won the quiz?
I invented the quiz.
Shall we do some news?
Nude.
Good. First up, Fender have announced the Custom Shop Limited Edition Robbie Robertson Signature Stratocaster. Matt
what
Knight.
Has happened to the world?
It's great.
I love it. I think it's great.
I know, but it's ridiculous.
It's so good.
Clearly, Fender have been listening to the podcast and have noticed that I think that they've become boring and middle of the road. So they go and release...
They've gone, what's the most outrageous Strat that anyone has ever played?
Well, made entirely out of bronze.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly...
No, this one... actually slightly different.
Okay, go on. Give us the rundown,
the background. So Robbie Robertson from the band basically played this particular guitar in the Martin Scorsese documentary The Waltz, which was a live performance of theirs, and it was a 1950 Strat. I think he thought it was a 58 in Fiesta Red. He was like, you know what this guitar needs? It needs to be bronzed.
Yes.
So, so he basically had it bronzed. Absolutely ridiculous. Apparently, it added 10 pounds to the original weight of the guitar.
I can't believe.
What?
For a thicker, more sturdy sound, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
He did even switch to another guitar at some point during the show. Once again, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But humbucker and a single coil.
Nothing in the middle position.
It looks like it's had something cut out of the bridge.
It'd be the straw that broke the camel's back, I reckon.
It looks like something's been cut out of the bridge, like the...
it looks like it had a Kayla Trem at some point.
Actually,
something.
I'm mistaken because I misread this. It isn't actually a humbucker. That is the middle pickup.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
The bridge.
Yeah.
So bizarre. But anyway,
so you can switch between those two.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like there's still a five-way there, and it still has all three.
That
rotaries.
Is absolutely bananas.
I reckon it sounds great on The Last Waltz. Like, if you haven't watched it, definitely go and check out the Last Waltz documentary.
I wonder what happened.
It's fantastic.
The video quality is incredible. I was watching one of the videos. I was like, how is that not filmed, like, this year. Like, yeah, yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, what I think is really interesting is, well, maybe not interesting, but like maybe indicative of the times, is that if you look at the front of this guitar, it's obviously at some point had a Kayla or a Floyd Rose or some sort of extended trem system on it. And then if you look at the back, it has all five trem springs. So he's obviously gone from playing loads of heavy whammy stuff to like, actually, you know what? I'm a bit of a grown up now.
I don't know if it has actually, because
no, it didn't. It looks like it, and I'll get to that. The reason being is that this certain guitar that he plays isn't, well, it's not bronzed in the same way. This is like bronze dipped, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, but there's definitely something attached to it.
No, if you look at the if you actually go to the custom shop website and look at the closer photos, you can see that because it's an ash body, that's the wood grain. There's like four bits of grain that come down from behind the trem, because he had that done in 68, so they wouldn't have had a Kayla trem at that
point. Okay, yeah, if it was that early.
And it was bronze since then, and he played it once more, and then it's been in like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since then.
It looks absolutely phenomenal. Like,
I mean,
it looks amazing.
I've always loved the look of that guitar, and that particular performance is so good. Like some of Bob Dylan's good mid-period work there actually is on the Last Waltz DVD. It's really good. Like the band. Do you guys know who the band are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really know. They were something to do with Bob Dylan. Yeah, they're like a Traveling Wilburys type.
No, they were kind of like a group of a kind of ragtag group
like
of musicians,
super group type
kind
thing.
Of bit of super group. But yeah, they were Bob Dylan's backing band for a long time. Went on to have success themselves.
Was Bob Dylan in the band?
No.
Okay.
No, right. He did tours with them.
The other famous guitarist was Michael Bloomfield.
That was
he had that amazing looking Les Paul at one point.
Yeah, yeah. He was in Dylan's band. From the Newport Folk Festival when he first went electric. That was Michael Broomfield. And the band was slightly later. But yeah, that Strat is just awesome. I'm glad they've done it. How did they do it the first time, Matt?
I think the first time it's actually bronzed.
Okay.
So I don't know full bronzing technique, but I think it's like proper solid metal on the outside. This is like some sort of like wood dipping process,
right?
Like where I think they're like dipping it in like a bronze finish, so it's kind of got like a bronze sheen to it, but it's not bronzed in the same way.
Yeah
But it looks cool. I don't know how limited they are.
40, I believe.
40, but yeah, are they master built?
I don't know. They've got to be, surely they'd have to be like very high end. So anyway, yeah, it looks cool.
Anyway, they're very cool. I'm
glad they've done it, because I think it is one of the coolest looking Strats of all time. Next up, Lava Guitars have announced the Lava Drop line.
Yes.
Joe Branton, you look like you were excited by this.
Well, these they look absolutely brilliant.
What's the story?
The Lava Guitars are created by
You didn't read this in advance, did you?
No, I did.
You didn't read it beforehand like I did.
Oh, have you? Well, I was just going to say, firstly, that they were made by the Lithuanian fella who's an industrial designer. The thing that I didn't understand is it says that because every single model in this new drop series is completely unique.
Like every single guitar he's making, basically, is unique.
What, like a different shape?
Yes.
No, that's what I thought. I don't think that's right.
No, because there are models within it. There's the X, there's the Drop X, there's a Drop Pro. But it says they're modelled after actual physical drops.
Of what?
They are modelled after actual physical drops
of what?
Yeah,
of lava.
It's very weird.
Don't know, mate.
They look, I mean, they're completely futuristic.
What, you dropped a guitar?
Yeah, it's just drops. Yeah. You just drop a guitar, and that's what happens.
If people should check them out, lava-drops.com.
The headstock is absolutely vile.
The headstock looks like
the headstock's amazing. So it looks almost as
I'm
if it's
kind
headless.
Of into it.
I'm really into it.
really into it. It looks like it's almost headless, but the tuners are on the back of the head.
Are they?
So the Lava Drop X, because they've basically got three: the Lava Drop Plus, the Lava Drop Minus, and then the Lava Drop X, and then the Lava Drop Minus is fretless.
Oh, of course it is. So cool. Of
course it is.
But they're kind of made with like odd woods. And, yeah,
it's great with the humbuckers, a wood covered as well. Really odd woods as well.
It's weird. Because the Merbau. X has got like...
Merbau. I've never even heard of it.
An integrated laser MIDI controller.
Oh, everything.
I don't even know what that is.
And then they're... because, of course, they're shaped like drops, so listeners and viewers, you can imagine what that shape is. You couldn't really sit with that, so they have a sort of part metal wrap, which gives them a lower horn so that you can sit with them.
What?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So that, yeah, the
oh, I didn't even notice.
The bass of the guitar right round to the kind of lower horn is like a stain. Oh, it's like a metal.
It's a chrome.
Stainless steel,
arm.
Maybe.
Exoskeleton.
Yeah. It's very, very bizarre. It's like something you could brutalize someone with. Yeah. Like.
I think this is super cool. This is super innovation. This is like trying to take guitars in a different direction. And that's totally cool. Not trying to copy anything at all.
That does
well,
look like.
Well, copying a drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than a drop. Yes,
it does look like something drop. That someone in one of your pony math bands would play.
No, what are you
looks
talking
like,
about?
It looks
everyone
like,
in math plays cool old guitars.
It looks like something from... what's that? Film.
Yeah, good one.
The one with Wesley Snipes in it.
The Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. It looks like someone from...
White Men Can't Jump.
It looks like...
Passenger 57.
That is a great movie.
It looks like...
Can we... The next
always
movie...
Always bet on black. Best line ever.
Yeah. The movie... The next movie commentary we do, can we do Passenger 57?
There's no guitars in it.
It
so
doesn't matter.
Not.
It doesn't matter. What does it matter?
Are we could do one over Christmas. Did we do it... Was it last Christmas?
Yeah, we did Spinal Tap.
Or was that one I...
Yeah, we should do that.
My heart.
Yeah. For those who don't know, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where you can listen to us talk for the entire length of Spinal Tap about the movie Spinal Tap. Anyway, next bit of news. Sur has announced the Kiko Luriero signature Shiba Drive Reloaded pedal. Matt Knight.
10 points to anyone who knows what band he plays in.
Megadeth.
Jay's done some research. Yes. I have
Is he the new one? He's the new one in Megadeth.
No. He Dave Mustaine has changed his name.
Yeah. to Kiko right. Luorio.
The whole thing, actually, super overdrive.
Yeah, yeah, he's changed his... Matt Knight, tell us about this pedal.
So this is based on the Shiba Drive Reloaded, which was the second version of the Shiba Drive, and it's just been modded for... It's been modded to his taste. I always find these kind of pedals weird because they've been using the normal one and then they're like, how about you have a signature one? And then they like tweak it to make it not as the same as the one they were using originally.
Yeah. It's like, I love the sound of that pedal. Can you make it differently for me?
Yeah. And then can you release it? But I'm still probably going to use the original one.
Yeah.
He doesn't play Sir guitars.
And yeah, sometimes... It's weird, sometimes though. The way they word it, they're like, oh, it's got greater clarity, then why not make that
the standard
one?
Yeah,
otherwise
yeah.
You're going to be like, well, I'm not, why would I want the other one? It's the clarity's not as good.
Yeah, so basically if you're a fan of this fella, you'd probably buy the original one, but if you like those pedals, then buy his one. Yeah. Because that one's better than the original one. Is that right?
That's exactly it.
Either way, the Sir pedals are amazing. The Shiba Drive is kind of like, it's an overdrive, but it's kind of low gain, so it's, you can use it like a really nice boost, and it kind of works really well in front of an amplifier. So drive level tone, really responsive, just a great position with a high cut switch on it as well. Just one worth trying out, especially if you used a slightly pushed amp and you want something to give you a little bit more overdrive.
Cool.
A little bit more money than a normal Shiba drive, and to be honest, I mean, if they say greater clarity, might be worth going for this one, whether you want the signature or not.
Yeah.
Or they could just be using a really ambiguous term.
Yeah, great.
That no one can dispute.
Yeah, how can you prove it's more clarity or not? Joe Branton, you've got the next bit of news fired up. I want to hear you try and pronounce this.
Okay, sure. Emma Effects.
Okay.
Really cool Danish boutique effects company. I really like their pedals. I really wish they would stop. They're another one like Exotic Effects who fall into this like... either they have bad designers, it's deliberate, or they just don't know what they're doing, but they're not very good at visuals on pedals, and they keep using Comic Sans, which really irks me, especially when they want sort of €250 a pedal.
Yes.
But they make really cool stuff. Most of their boutique effects, unlike most boutique pedals, is very traditional, and they just make really cool traditional, like their fuzzes aren't overly compressed or especially high gain. They're all sort of old school, and everything they do kind of has a bit of an old school feel. And basically they have, I think this is a reissue.
First new model
in
10 years.
Because it's a mix of a couple of things that they do. So this is the Octonodges. The Octonodges.
Is it not Nudges?
No,
I think it probably
Nodges.
Is.
Nodges.
I think it's probably Nodges. Just pronounced Octonoise.
Octonodges.
Okay. Oh, maybe it is noise.
I think it is noise.
Noise. If you look at the picture slightly bigger, it's definitely noise.
Octo.
No, it's a J though, it's not an O.
I think that's how they pronounce it.
Octonodges.
Let's go with Octonodges.
Okay, so the Octonodges by Emma Electronic is, it's kind of two pedals in one. So, and it very much looks like that. It's a double foot switch pedal with its rotary controls separated into white control knobs and black control knobs. As is so common with, like, obviously octo, you know it's going to be an octave. They've gone for, like, the design on it is lots of octopus legs
it looks cool. Like, everyone looks way better than the rest of their
stuff. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. I'm quite into this. But, yeah, so the two sides of it are, one side is an octave, kind of traditional, as with everything, so it's sort of OC2 style sub-octave. Which I think is just one octave. Yeah, so it's just one octave down. So obviously an OC2 has two, but it's that sort of traditional octave down with a dry, wet mix and overall tone control and the octave itself. And then the other side is a fuzz.
Cool.
So, so that's pretty cool because it's an octave down fuzz rather than more traditionally, obviously,
octave
an octave up fuzz.
And they're independently switchable, and you can have them both on at the same time.
Exactly, yeah, either or both at the same time.
Can you switch the order?
No, the octave's always first, which is
okay. which makes sense.
I'd always want.
That makes
sense. But yeah, you get sort of gain, tone, level, colour, and nodges on the drive itself.
Do the notches go to 11?
It's just a sort of a rotary. So we would say, yeah, okay, sure.
Cool, awesome. You can
have 11 nodges if you want 11 nodges.
11, nothing less than 11 nodges will do.
Why not?
For me.
Speaking of going to 11, a friend of mine texted me this week asking if I'd seen about this new Marshall beer. And I said, oh, yeah, here's a review that we did of it. Yeah. Why aren't you keeping up to the things that I'm doing with my life?
Yeah.
I didn't say that, but I did think it, but yeah, he was like, oh yeah, how does it taste? And it was the blonde one that he had seen. I was like, oh yeah, it's fine, but I preferred the other one, the triple. And he went, oh yeah, is it 11%? And I was like, why on earth didn't they do
did we not say that at the time? I can't remember.
Okay.
I was a bit pissed.
What was it in the end?
8.2.
Oh yeah, they need to do
one. As if they didn't do one that went to 11.
Just call one, Marshall. Goes to 11. Just make another one. That's 11%.
11%. There might be some more like regulatory issues once you get, because that's basically wine,
isn't it?
Maybe this is just a wine.
It's not quite as rock and roll, though, is it?
Fortified. No, come
you
on,
make, you can make an 11% beer.
Is about the most rock and roll drink in the world.
Yeah, that's also not 11%, is it? That's like 50% or something.
No, it's 20. Not that much.
In fact, I think I had a 10% beer on holiday that was bacon flavoured.
Yeah, I mean, you do get, but there might be some.
But you can definitely get some.
God, that's like the most alpha male beer I've ever heard.
It was a craft beer, so.
Really taking in the local culture, Matty, having bacon flavoured lager.
It was brewed locally in Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, well, there we go. There we go. Let's do one last bit of news. Moore Electronics, who we've already talked about this episode.
We have.
Have just announced.
We do like Moore, though, don't they? Yeah. They do good stuff. I like Moore. They're cool.
I'm liking the Moore and Moore.
They're affordable and good quality.
They are indeed, and they've just announced the Micro Drummer.
Oh yes,
I wonder what this is based on.
Joe Brandon, tell us about it.
I mean, what more do you want? What more do you need in a time when we're getting things like the Digitech Trio?
Yeah,
and that one.
Oh, you know, there've been some other absolute piles of crap released this year. Oh my God, people who need accompaniments for home use just get a band. So no, this is Moore making something that I absolutely fundamentally don't care about at all. I really like the company, but seriously, like why is there a tone control? Why does it have to be a guitar pedal? I don't understand needing a drummer as a guitar
pedal.
Because
they've already got those chassis.
Just get a
they've
drum
got loads
machine
of those chassis, though.
And then you can like control it separately, and you don't have to have it affected by the way you want your amps to sound. It's the most ridiculous thing.
Bizarrely enough, I mean, and I'm sure you must be a fan of this, Joe, since you're a fan of the band. Have you seen some recent performances of Tom York and Johnny Greenwood playing some of the new Radiohead songs with an old drum machine?
Yeah, but that's separate. I love drum machines.
But they are just playing, they're just setting a drum machine. It's the same loop over and over while they play and sing guitar at the top.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool because it's separate. It's a drum machine. My girlfriend has one of those, the Roland Ira drum machines, and they're absolutely wicked. I love messing around.
So why don't you just
things
go output out of this through some effects pedals?
No, that's all.
I reckon you could do something good
you'd
with
have
it.
To
I don't
set
think
this
you
up.
Be hating.
You'd have to set this up on its own through a separate amp to what you were playing guitar through. Otherwise,
no, if you've got an ESA, you're no,
gonna,
you don't.
You could just have it a little effects loop.
ABY box.
That's know, true. Man.
Anyway, so this...
Give us the spec, anyway, of this thing that you hate.
Yeah, fine. So it looks like the... Because, of course, Moore do those controls where you get one large rotary and then the three smaller ones. The three smaller ones deal with the volume, the speed, and the tone. But don't worry, because there is also a tap tempo, because that having that... No access to... I guess this is really for practice, isn't it? So
that is cool.
There's no need for being able to set an exact tempo, I guess, if you're just using it for sort of, I don't know, jamming along to John Bon Jovi, whatever people who buy this pedal do. So you just get the speed, tap tempo. You've got tone, because, of course, you know...
I don't really understand what the tone will do.
Does
it go from, like... the drum sounds.
Surely
it changes the drum sounds.
From what? Like, well, so tribally to basic.
No, it actually physically, from what I've read, it changes some of the sounds. No.
That's the large rotary, I think, does that.
No, that changes the type of style.
Yeah. Right.
The style. That changes the style.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
The tone control changes a few of the actual drum sounds, like different snare hits.
Well, that's cool if it's switching through presets rather than just sort of adding, you know,
more treble or bass.
Is it notched then?
No, it'll just get to a point.
No, because you can still have it like continuous, but like in different sections, it will a bit like the count to five. It's got like six different sections on one thing, but it
well a bit like any of these sort of Boss Cube things, the Roland cubes where the
I think
reverb
you're not making a big enough deal out of the fact that there's this tap tempo on there. I think that's really neat.
Cool. No, that's cool. No, I am only taking the mic. This is actually. It's £69, which is way better than other sort of pieces of absolute garbage like the Digitech Trio. This is a this makes sense. Like if you want something, just jam along with at home. Then I think this is actually a good idea. It's £69.
I'm going to put this into weirdest gear just to annoy you, and then let it win the category.
It might appear on the Branton Ranton.
Oh yeah, Branton's Ranton.
It is coming.
Okay, I want to record these. We'll talk about that at the end. But I think the Micro Drummer is a cool bit of kit. It's not a load of money, and for someone who just wants to practice drums at home or like a busker or someone like that, £69 for how many? Like there's like 16 different styles in there.
You've got jazz, you've got funk, and to be honest, that's what you're going to be using if you're
TP.
The sort of person.
You've got TP. I need TP for my drum hole.
LT,
what's Latin?
Lieutenant.
What's flamenco?
RC.
What's PP?
Oh, that's where they're going to be. That's
Power
where they're
pop?
Gonna be. That's where they're going to be placed. RC.
Anyway, what is RC?
That's what you are whenever anybody asks you to talk to them about the pedal.
What's MT?
Your brain hole.
Metal. Oh, that's metal. What's BL?
Bloody lovely.
That's the style. Bloody lovely. Anyway, you've got a brand of the week this week, right?
No. We're not doing brand of the week. We've got too much.
We've got some questions, though.
Too lazy. We've got questions.
No, it's not too lazy. We've got loads of questions.
Too lazy. Let's take a question from the Facebook group in a segment that we like to call
Questions.
Michael says, as a single guitarist in my band, I'm looking to thicken up the overall sound and found the TC Electronics Mimic Doubler.
Are there any other pedals I should be looking up to have? Also, has anyone used it in a mono setup?
Are there any other pedals I should be looking at to help? Also, has anyone used it in a mono setup?
That's
stereo.
The opposite of a mono.
Yeah. Matt Knight, your thoughts on this, the Mimic Doubler.
I really like this pedal.
I really don't. If you watch some of the video demos, I think it sounds absolutely terrible. Oh. It sounds like a really badly chorused, double-tracked guitar.
I am going to admit that I haven't really watched any. I just really like...
You like the idea?
But I really liked that. Who made one before? Was it Seymour Duncan?
Electro-Harmonix made one in the 70s.
There's been one more recently called like the 30 millisecond.
Keeley make one, which is actually very, very good.
Yes,
it's got some reverb settings on it as well.
Yeah,
the
I've
ADT.
Heard that one.
But that gives you more of the kind of like classic... studio chorus reverb sort of sounds, which I think fatten things up more.
Right.
This sounds like listening to your guitar double tracked that you've just recorded, but everything's slightly off. So you sort of, it's almost like having someone playing behind you exactly the same thing, just slightly out of time.
I get the idea is that it's to sound like two guitars recorded separately.
But
so
it sounds so fake. I think that's the problem I have with it. It doesn't like fatten up your guitar sound.
What would you do then? What techniques?
It's for a different purpose to the one. If you watch all the videos that TC do, they do not. It doesn't get demonstrated in any other style other than shred
metal,
because that is what this one is for. There are others that do it in a more sort of
but you can,
rock and roll way.
I think you can thicken up a shred guitar sound in a more convincing, more organic fashion than that.
Probably,
sounds okay. Yeah. From the video, that first video they put out is like all I've watched.
Because you can have one, two, or even three
or four.
I love that guy. I mean, I gave him a Russian accent instead of a Danish one because I can't really do it. But
he's
great.
He is good.
He makes me want to buy all his stuff.
Yeah. And I thought it sounded okay, but personally, I would do it a different way. Matt, how would you thicken up just any type of guitar sound?
It's difficult if you're like, obviously, you can't run like stereo, and you're obviously a mono player. But I'd kind of go back to the core of your sound and be like if you're a four piece. and you don't think your guitar sounds fat enough, what guitar are you using? How are you like actually in mix? Are you using the right amp? You know, even like, could you put thicker strings on it or something like that, and actually go back to that sort of thing, going like, oh, I need to digitally add loads of things on to try and fatten my guitar sound up. You know, if you're using a Tele and an AC30, for example, and you're like, oh, my guitar sound doesn't sound very fat, is it that you just want more bottom end, or are you falling out of the mix? And if you're falling out of the mix, are you just not EQ'd properly?
Yeah.
I'd say sometimes like an EQ pedal can be a great thing for that, because it can be so versatile in how you set it up. So it gives you a fatter, warmer guitar sound, but you don't necessarily have to like push the front end of your amplifier.
Do you know what I would always do is a little bit of compression and then a really short slapback delay can really thicken the guitar sound. Even if you're using like loads of gain, just adding those things on there will like fatten up your guitar sound. It sounds awesome.
I actually have a sound on my timeline that I just called texture, which is low mixed delay with several repeats but really quick time, so it almost like a reverb, but it sits in the mix really well. And I have that on like all the time, even if I'm using like a just completely like blank guitar sound, just because it just helps like stop everything sounding so dry.
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you what, I plugged in the JHS Pulp and Peel compressor again last week, and that thing is awesome. So good.
Good. I thought it sounded amazing.
I would go for that.
And if you went for something like that, say if you bought something like that and you were using fat, and it's got a DI out, you can even then give a feed to the sound guy, and then you'll come through a PA better, which will obviously help push your guitar sound through the mix more in a live situation.
Yeah, particularly if you're a bass player, I guess that's the most kind of obvious solution for that. But Joe, have you got a question from the YouTube?
Yes, got a couple actually.
Okay, let's do one. Hit me.
The first one is actually directed at Matty, because this question came up last week and I didn't think any of us three would be able to answer it. Avarice123 says, how is the Boss GT1? How are we getting on with it? I think there was a bit more to it last
week. I wonder if it's the same person that I spoke to earlier on.
There's
the
someone
Facebook
asked about
group.
This in the Facebook group. Yeah,
someone did ask about it in the Facebook
group.
Don't know. I mean, I really like it. I mean, I wouldn't use it as a multi effects for like recording. Like, I've been jamming around with it at headphones in the office, which is quite nice. But the one thing I've had really good fun with is plugging it in. Which is what I was saying on the Facebook group, plugging it in via USB, turning all the amp modeling off, all the cab modeling, using it as an effects processor and just programming loads of ambient guitar sounds on it. Because you can use Boss Tone Central to, you know, alter the pedals and what the control switches do. So I set a sound on it where when you hit the control switch, it basically freezes your guitar sound, and then the two up and downs can then like give you two different delays. So actually it's like an M5 style multi-effects processor. That's how I use it, and that's how I thought it sort of sounded really good for that, with the expression pedal and everything. You can plug an extra expression pedal into it, but for £165, and I mean, this is obviously the Boss person coming at me, I don't think there's anything as good for that money on the market. £165.
We'll be the judges of that, Matt. Can you bring one down for when we record Gear of the Year, so we can all have a listen and give our
absolutely
trash it?
Yeah, we can completely trash it and
throw it in the sea.
The funny thing is because I sort of had the first time I plugged in, I was like, oh, this doesn't sound very good. And then I remembered that the thing that they do with in the extra menu on all of this Boss equipment is what you need to do is tell under the output section how you're plugging it in.
Yeah.
So if you're plugging it into the front end of a stack or a combo, or you're going into an effects loop return or whatever, and it alters the output stage and the speaker sim to match that, so it sounds like flat response, I suppose, in a way,
right,
through your speaker. Because if you just plug it in and you've got standard amp and cab modeling into a preamp, power amp and speaker, it sounds terrible. And the best result I've had is turning the it to effects loop send, so you're going into the effects loop straight into the back of a solid state amp, and it sounded Amazing, because you're getting the proper digital preamps and everything come through.
Bring one down. It will fit into a gig bag, won't it? So bring one down, and we'll give it a more strenuous review when we get a go on it. Jay, one more question from YouTube, if you will.
Yes, Matthew says. So there was a little bit of to and fro on this. Matthew wanted to know if anyone had played the Epiphone SG Special. And what were our thoughts on it?
Do they do an SG special?
They do,
Isn't it called the G400?
No, that's the GlueNet one.
I sort of said, this is it's just a bolt-on, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, exactly. Really?
And I just said, that was basically what I said. Like, I don't think that the... Even, at that price point, I don't think the SGs stand up to the Les Pauls at the same price point.
It wasn't designed to be a bolt-on.
So the follow-up question was, okay, in that case, what can you recommend for that money? So I guess, sub 150?
I had, I had pretty much exactly this this conversation with my brother-in-law at the weekend, because he's looking to get an electric as a present for someone. So we were looking at
Is it you?
No, it's not me. No. We were looking at sub 150, yeah. I guess, and what's available for that kind of money. There's not a huge amount that I'd recommend, really. I mean, Epiphone LP100. No, not LP100,
again,
sorry.
Again, that's a bolt-on.
I know they're bolt-on, but there's not a lot of choice for that money.
I think the Les Paul Special 2
is not a bad guitar. I think they are quite... quite a bit better than the SGs.
Yeah.
Is that...
They're different scale.
The LP,
same.
But the do you mean the LP one? You mean the Junior?
Sorry,
you said the LP 100. There's two options.
There's two options actually at that price point. Roughly 150 to 200. There's Les Paul Special 2, which is great. Flat top, two humbuckers, bolt on.
That.
Then you've got the LP 100, which is carved top with a scratch plate.
Not that.
No, that has always been a bit of a weird model, because it's like, it looks like a glued neck Les Paul. It looks like a studio, but it's bolt neck.
Yeah,
and you're paying for a lot of cosmetics.
Yeah.
And I always found them not to play very well, where the Les Paul Special is the one that you want, Les Paul Special 2.
I really like the Les Paul Special. I mean, for what it's worth, we talk about the £150 mark. For £159, you can get that in a starter pack with an amp.
You can.
With plectrums, a stand. I think that's the best starter pack on the market. I'd rather
get the Epiphone one.
Yeah, I'd rather get that.
That's so pony.
Yeah, the amps let those down a little bit.
I'd rather get that than a Stop Dreaming, Start Playing.
I would much rather get the Squire, I think.
Yeah, and spend an extra £100.
That's true.
It's £300 for a Squire starter pack now. It's not a starter pack price.
It's not. There's different levels. There's one that is...
There was one that was well cheap. That had a Squire amp again, though, Pony.
Yeah, they did that came with the 10G, but that amp is just as bad as something else.
I think you're actually better off
buying the guitar individually and getting you can buy now. I think you can buy, and I think this is probably the best thing. You can buy Digitech RP50 for £36. You might as well buy one of those and plug headphones into it. It'll sound better.
Cool. But there are some other cool bits that float around. Epiphone are quite good at random limited edition bits. And there are things like the Epiphone Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Which is quite a cool,
unique
looking guitar.
That cheap?
No, they're not that cheap.
Yeah.
No, because they're a glued neck. They're not that cheap.
They were... I know that I don't know what they were retailing at.
Okay.
I know that their trade price was under £100.
Okay, well, so probably can't don't been, say that.
They can't have been that much more.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Epiphone Wiltshire's are £440.
Oh, really?
There we go.
Oh, that's definitely...
Yeah, it's definitely not the right guitar that you're thinking about.
No, there was one. There was one. I'll find
maybe
it.
We can save this for later.
Anyway, so, my advice would be the LP100. Not LP100, sorry. Les Paul Special 2, even. Because I did do a bit of reading about this at the weekend and just sizing up what's out there. There's also some good stuff from Ibanez. There's good stuff from LTD as well. But you're obviously, they're a little bit more kind of aimed towards the metal player. If you want something that is... you want something general purpose, I would say the Les Paul Special 2 is the one to go for, definitely. So,
yeah.
That Wiltshire that you looked up is not that money,
is
it?
Yeah, it's not that one. No, it's a different one. No, but these are all the Pros and the Fantomatic ones now. So I think this one's discontinued. There was another one that was super budget, which was quite a cool idea for something good looking. I mean, even what about the people like cool companies like Eastwood or even someone like Vintage
do anything that's going to have a bit more vibe around that price. But they probably start a little bit more.
Yeah, price point, they're all a bit more money. I mean, the only advantage you'll get if you're looking at that kind of guitar is to go something with a glued neck, but you're never going to get something for that kind of price point, really. So yeah. I would say, yeah, Epiphone Les Paul Special 2 is an awesome guitar for not a huge amount of money, and also perfect fodder for modder fodder, because it's really easy to... Modder fodder. You total modder fodder. It's really easy to swap the pickups out and like change the machine heads and stuff, and you can go to town on those without too much hassle. So, cool little guitar. Let's do one last quick question before Jay dies. It's Dave says, here's a strange one. What's the best smelling guitar you've ever bought?
The Nitro
on my new telly smells amazing.
A question.
I noticed it straight away the first time I picked it up. Jay Cross.
Not in terms of guitars that I've bought, but guitars that I've opened. We've talked about this before, how like Gibson were just in like 2013, they did something and it was, oh my word, it was just unbelievable. Opening a custom shop Les Paul,
yes,
around that sort of 2013 period, being like the first person to open up was just like, yeah, holy granoli. They smelled incredible.
You immediately felt like you had a glass of brandy, a smoking jacket, and a cigar. Well,
that's funny you say that, because I thought the one you were going to mention, and the one that always sticks in my mind, was the Steve Jones signature Les Paul.
Yeah.
Because when I opened it, it smelled of booze, and I was like...
Yes.
Did they actually intentionally make it smell of booze?
So right. Or? So something to do with the polish they were using, wasn't it?
It's something to do with the nitro, I think. Something to do with the polish. Yeah. I think it's the nitro, because Fenders, like American standards, don't smell that way.
No.
It's only the stuff that was finished in nitro tends.
Yeah. Definitely. Anything Gibson Memphis. I don't know if it's because they're hollow bodies, but they are really strong smelling.
Actually, the Charvel Guthrie Govan, because it was like all roasted wood. It kind of had this really nice, like earthy smell about it. And look, it was all brown. Most boring looking guitar ever, but it actually sounded amazing.
On a slightly similar note, the worst smelling guitar that I ever opened up was the Rickenbacker, the John Lennon Rickenbacker 325. That looked like an onion and smelled like a mouldy onion.
It was
absolutely disgusting. When we opened it up, we had to air it out. We had it airing out for like a week.
How bad
upstairs
is that?
In the Guitar Tech's little room. It smelled awful. It was so vile. I couldn't go near it. It was atrocious.
Stinky, stinky John Lennon.
Bloody John Lennon.
Bloody John Lennon stinking the place out. Anyway, we are up over an hour, so we're going to bring this thing to a close.
Time, gentlemen.
Indeed, time at the bar. Thanks for joining us this week, if you have done, on the live stream. If you want to watch this live every week, you can. YouTube.com/... YouTube.com/ guitar nerds videos. Yeah. You can join us every Monday night from 8 8 o'clock. That's
8
right,
p.m.
isn't it?
Normally, 8
p.m.
This one was 8:20,
something like that, UK time.
No, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. UK time. You can also get an extra half an hour of the audio version, where we answer more questions, or this week we're actually doing how to sound like Radiohead week's topic. We are indeed. And you can get that at patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month you can support the podcast, get the extra half an hour of audio, or from as little as $10 a month you can become one of our Patreon backers. One of our Patreon producers. Sorry, I've just seen what Joe's doing.
No.
This is going to be horrendous.
No, it's going to be fine. I'll take over if it doesn't work so well.
Okay, right, bear with us
then. I think potentially this isn't going to work, but I'm going to try. Okay, so everyone, I'm making like a really weird album at the moment where I want loads of that like text-to-speech style voices, so I've been looking for like a free one that I could download, and I found this one called Natural Reader that gives you loads of, not only can you pick the language, you can pick the accent that the person has.
Come on then.
So I'm going for Anya Lee.
Anjali.
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 Okay. So do we still have to do the...
Where's the speakers? Yeah, yeah. Where's the speakers on this? All right, here we go.
Chris Connors. Andy Joyce. Steve Merkle. Blair Toms. Carlos Mancha. Andrew Macro. Mark Cross. J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey.
You broke it. You broke it.
I didn't. Claire, there we go.
Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Newt Gravitt. Colin Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, that done, definitely sounded Anjali. Better than you.
Yeah, that was Def. Can we get that every week? In fact, can we replace you entirely well, with Natural Reader?
I tell you what is cool is you can also pick the speed, and I had it set quite slow then.
Please don't make us.
Yeah, but all it's doing is doing the. Like, yeah, this, true, the yeah. issue was the gap in between the names.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on it. I'll work on it. So maybe every week I'll find different. Accent, dialect, text-to-speech reader.
No, I can't
That's
believe I'm going to say this.
My new aim in life.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I kind of prefer when you do it.
Oh.
Unbelievable. If you want more of this quality audio, patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can also visit the Guitar Nerd shop, guitarnerds.net/shop, where we've got a brand new t-shirt available.
We do.
Guitar Nerds mugs,
yeah.
All for pre-order. You'll get them before Christmas.
Yeah. What's Joe going to do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he's the mug that's been here
but
for a
I'm
while.
Also,
we've got some new mugs that people can buy.
I'm releasing my own knockoff merch.
Excuse me?
Yeah, to compete with you guys so that I can take 100% of the profit.
How many are you going to... Are you just going to knock one off? Yeah, or are you going to...
Is that the...
Well, I don't know.
Are you going to knock...
Moog's going to make it for me.
Is that the GAK Guitar Shop?
No, the Branto Ranton... Branton's Ranton.
Anyway... Let's wind this up.
It feels like we've been ending for a while.
It does, it feels like me. Joe Branton. So you can follow us on Twitter @GuitarNerds, on Instagram @GuitarNerds, or individually @Mark_Random, @Matt_Nightsy, @Joseph_900, and @999. Call the ambulance. Jay's about to die. thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, gang. Bye-bye.
Bye.